Be fully filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Let us turn to a book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The most important thing in walking an unknown pathway is meeting a good guide. These days, navigation facilities are really good and are really helpful, but in the past there was no such thing as a navigation facility. I also had a similar experience. In the past, I was driving a countryside road and I could not see any sign on the road, so I remember having a very difficult time looking for the right way. As we walk on the pathway, as we need a guide, in our lives as well, we need a guide. A wise person needs to follow the guidance of a guide well. It is the same with our faith as well. We should not just make way to any road. On Buddha's birthday, a Catholic priest goes to the temple and bows down. He says that he is just following the one truth, and congratulates the birthday of Buddha. It helps Catholic religion to appear as a very general religion, but it is a very scary religious pluralism. A heavenward way does not have any other option. It does not have several options. Only the Lord is the way. In John, chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We are unable to reach the heaven by choosing to go on any road. Only Jesus is the way to the heaven. To keep this truth, the people of the early church were persecuted, and even though they were martyred, they kept the truth. When there is a shortage in blood, you cannot add water to it to fill the shortage. So unlike other religions, we, as Christians, cannot compromise the essential truth, so sometimes we could be seen as a self-centered religion. But there is only one way to go to God. And a guide that guides us to go on this pathway is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, without a guidance of the Holy Spirit, in Christian life, it is likely that people would get lost and wander around. When it comes to faith, surely, we need to long to be guided by the Holy Spirit, all the time. But the saying that a person has received the Holy Spirit and the saying that a person is filled fully with the Holy Spirit are two different things. The Holy Spirit is the one that came into us when we believed in Jesus, and guided us to come to believe in Jesus. In Romans, chapter 8, verse 9, it says, You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But when it comes to being filled fully with the Holy Spirit, it is about Christians who have been saved are controlled by the Holy Spirit in all areas of life. It is about having a victory against the world because of the Holy Spirit. It is about being given the strength to win against the sins and enemy Satan. So in verse 18, it says, Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit controls my life fully, joy overflows, peace overflows, and a victorious life begins. Have a look at the disciples. If we look at the difference between the scenes before and after Pentecost, before people experienced the grace of the Holy Spirit, even though they confessed that the Lord is Christ, they kept falling down. Are you higher than me? Am I higher than you? And so on. People were envious, jealous of each other. Disciples who were like that before, after they experienced the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, they were no longer afraid of being put to death. Jesus that was nailed on the cross, rose again. People testified to others that they are the witnesses of the cross and the resurrection. and they told others about Jesus. Where did people get this kind of courage from? It was power given by the Holy Spirit. Dr. A. W. Tozer said that being filled with the Holy Spirit means enthusiasm and holy passion of God are on fire from deep within. When we are filled fully with the Holy Spirit, from that point onwards, life that I was the owner of turns to be the life that God is owner of. God becomes the owner of my life. Secondly, we get to understand that I am just a manager of the belongings I have, and God is the owner of these things. Thirdly, we get to realize that I do not get to make a choice based on my own instinct, but I get to ask the Holy Spirit, who is the owner of my life, who resides in me, about my future. Also, when we are fully filled with the Holy Spirit, God becomes our number one priority. In Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This verse refers to the condition of when we are fully filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord did not mean that we do not need the clothes, food and shelter. He meant that our priority should be on God. I will share a story of a church deacon with you all. A deacon at church went out to exercise with work colleagues every morning. After the exercise, they went to drink cool beers. Just because that he was a church deacon, he did not feel comfortable about drinking. He asked me this question one day. "Pastor, in Germany, people drink beer like soft drinks. Is it a sin to drink a beer?" If I said, "Yes, you can," he could have told me that I am a liberal pastor. If I said, "No, you cannot," then he could have told me that I am a pastor that is inflexible. I asked him in return, "Deacon, do you believe in Jesus?" "Yes, I do." "Then, who is your owner of your life?" "It is God, the Holy Spirit and Jesus." "Then, I think you should not ask that question to me, but you should ask that question to the owner that is in you." He asked me, "The Holy Spirit that is in me, when he is thirsty, does he feel like drinking a glass of beer?" "Then, for sure, the Holy Spirit will speak to you about the good and the evil." "For sure, the Holy Spirit tells us about the good and the evil in us." So it has been said, "Do not make the Holy Spirit to be troubled and worried." Apostle Paul said in today's passage that we should not be drunk and instead, we should be filled fully with the Holy Spirit. And he introduced us about the four kinds of lives that are filled fully with the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit tells us that there is a special opportunity. Verses 15 to 16 say, "Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." It says, "Make the most of every opportunity." Verse 16, which says, "Make the most of every opportunity," this means take hold of the opportunity given to you. It is a special opportunity that God has given us. In other words, an opportunity is time that is allocated to me. We need to know that time is not mine but the owner is someone else. A characteristic of a spirit-filled person is that this person understands the fact that the owner of time is someone else, not us. We need to use the time given to us as if we are managers of time. Manager means a person responsible for it. We are managers of time. The owner of time is God. Therefore, we should not waste the time and opportunity given to us. A lot of people treat money as more precious thing than time. But we need to know that time cannot be purchased with money. People know what to do to save money, but they do not know how to save time. Money can be earned again, but we are not able to find the time that is once gone. It has been said 90% of the factors for success in life is based on management of time. Depending on how time has been spent, which was given to each of us equally, value turns out differently. Benjamin Franklin, who is famous in American history, said this: "If you love your life, then do not waste time. Time is an ingredient that makes life." When he was running a bookshop, one man came and asked him to give him a discount on the book price. Franklin did not give him a discount. Even though Franklin said no, this man kept on asking him to give him a discount. Then Franklin even put the price up. The customer got really angry and asked him why. "You are wasting my time. Wouldn't you help putting the price up if you were me? There is no other option." The customer then felt so ashamed and felt sorry for him. He paid whatever price he was asked and bought the book. That is right. Time is life. Wasting of time is wasting of life. Raindrops make a pond, a river and a sea. In the same way, 1 second of time, 1 minute, 1 day, 1 year, 10 years and 20 years accumulate, and this is the present time that we live in. When it comes to time, we need to use it well. It is not about quantity, but quality. 5 minutes of emergency patient, who is in a critical condition, is more important than 100 hours of other people. It is because 5 minutes can have an impact on whether this patient lives or dies. 5 minutes of students, who are in their last year of high school, preparing for university entrance exams, is more precious than time of other students. Ability to use the time well is wisdom. Increase the time value added. Satan attacks the time. It is because time is life. Satan causes us to waste time for unnecessary things. Do not be tricked by Satan. Set the priorities of time. There are tasks that need to be done quickly, and there are tasks that can be done slowly. There are tasks that must be done, and there are tasks that can be delayed a bit. There are compulsory tasks and there are optional tasks. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom to manage time. The Holy Spirit tells us to save time. Time does not stay for us. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" In Romans, chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord." Are you not wasting your time at the moment? The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom to use the time wisely. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom to differentiate the will of the Lord. Verse 17 says, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." A characteristic of a Spirit-filled person is that this person understands the will of the Lord and lives according to the will of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit allows us to get deeper into the truth. Paul said in the 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 10, "But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit." The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit allows us to understand the heart of God, the will of God, and the plan of God with wisdom. In Christian life, understanding the will of God is extremely important. Then, what is the will of the Lord? There are two kinds of misunderstandings about the will of the Lord. Firstly, when we make a decision in something, we make our own decision and pray. We then finalize by saying that this is the will of God. Many times, my own will becomes the main thing and the will of God becomes the rest of it. Also, we tend to think that all results are the will of God. It is extremely dangerous to think like that. It is really dangerous to consider that everything is the will of God without asking the will of God to God. The Holy Spirit is not like that. With a heart that is like a piece of white paper, take the Word of God closer to you. Seek for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Is this the will of God? Or not? Is this the will of God, that God wants or not? Think about that and pay attention to the Word of God. Then the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom to understand it. If it is the will of God, then you will be able to enjoy joy and happiness. Let us read verse 19 together. It says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." Apostle Paul himself was in a prison but advised the people of Ephesus to praise the Lord in joy and happiness in their lives. President Eisenhower was the 34th President of the United States. At some point, he was under General MacArthur. He supported him very well and completed the given tasks successfully. He then became the Chief General of the United Army and led the Normandy landing operations successfully. He was rated as the best hero. He stressed the importance of living a life that gives thanks and has goals. These were the most important things to him. It has been said that if he could not complete the given tasks that he set for the day, then he considered that there is no tomorrow. That is how he lived his life. One day, General Eisenhower gave a speech in front of the soldiers. On the way down the aisle, he slipped over because of the rainwater. Soldiers thought that Eisenhower would tell them off harshly for not cleaning the area perfectly. But he went up the stairs again onto the stage and continued on giving his speech, as if nothing had happened. "Everyone, did you have fun seeing me fall down? If it was fun for you, should I do it again? I am thankful that my leg did not break." The atmosphere got brightened up when people heard him saying this, and this eased the stress of the soldiers. There is a saying that says, if you want to be a person that is successful, then you need to watch the language that you use. A person that is thankful all the time, a person that pleases others and makes others to feel comfortable, this kind of person enjoys grace, joy and happiness. How about your lives? Is your life a life that gives joy and happiness to others? Then, other people will like you. The Holy Spirit leads us to give thanks to God all the time in our lives. Verses 20-21 say, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Verse 20 says, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks becomes a measure of happiness. Paul confessed that he always gives thanks to God the Father for everything. Pay a special attention to a part where it says, always. Always does not mean when things are going well only, but when things are not going well as well. Not only when health condition is good, but when you are ill as well, you give thanks to God the Father. It was a confession of Paul. In the Bible, Job was like that, Habakkuk was like that, and Paul was like that. Have a look at the people of the early church. After they experienced the grace, everything about their lives was about giving thanks. In the past, in Houston, in the U.S., there was a pastor's conference. There was a deacon that looked very weak and frail. But he came and helped out in the conference every hour. His church pastor told me about him in tears. He told me the name of the deacon and explained to me that he has an illness which cannot be cured. So in any moment, he may fall down and collapse, but he comes and serves like that. That deacon confessed that he has a little bit of strength left, and because of this strength, he gives thanks to God so that he could serve pastors. He said he was really grateful for this. He could have complained and could have been waiting to die in any moment, but he was so thankful and bright. In his image, I felt that I was seeing the image of the Lord in him. True thanksgiving is possible not only when we are in a good and favorable condition, but also when we realized about the grace of God. In Germany, at one point in time, there was a severe drought. A rich grandfather used to bake bread for little children. But the children took it for granted, and there was no one that thanked him for it. But there was one kid that took the last and the smallest one all the time, and he said thank you to him. Grandfather put money in the smallest bread. That day as well, the kid took the very last and the smallest bread, and did not forget to say thank you. This kid took the bread home, and when he bit the bread, there was money. He brought the money to the grandfather, and grandfather said to him like this, "I put the money intentionally in that bread, because you were thankful for even the little things. It is for you." That is right. Fruit of grace is restoration of giving thanks. My dear family in Christ, we need to live our lives fully filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us ask the Holy Spirit about our future pathways. As the blind man is unable to walk even a step without a walking stick, we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. After the work of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, early church was set up. Therefore, the center of church is following the work of the Holy Spirit only. When we follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, not our experience and ways, we would be able to gain wisdom and bear good fruit. We will then eventually get to the heaven as well. I pray in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen.